Hello again, cultivators. This is the Go Cultivate podcast. I'm your host, Kevin Shepherd, founder and CEO of Verdunity. And here we are. We are at the end of 2022. And what we thought we'd do here to wrap up the year on the podcast, we're going to do something a little different. We're not going to do your typical best of episodes or anything like that. I get a lot of questions about the makeup of our team. We try to come at planning and engineering work differently, and doing that requires that you think about things from different perspectives and are able to communicate and connect with a lot of different backgrounds as well. So I've tried really intentionally as we've built our team to find people that share a common goal, that share a why, but also bring some of that different perspective and expertise to our team as we grow. I am extremely, extremely lucky and privileged to work with these folks, to learn from them every day. And so what we thought we'd do is share some short interviews with each of our Verduners over the next couple of weeks. Just real quick, 10, 15 minute chats that I'm going to have with each of our team members, talk a little bit about their why, their experience, how they found their way to Verdunity. And you'll hear from some of them what some of the biggest challenges are in communities right now that we're trying to tackle and how our work is making a difference. So I'm excited to give you guys a little bit of a peek under the hood, if you want to call it that, the people that make up our team. Some of them you've heard on the podcast before. Some of them are going to be new voices that I hope to have on here more in the next year. I also want to just take time to add that we are hiring right now. We're looking to add one or maybe two planners and also a civil engineer to our team. And so if you listen to these, if our purpose, if our personal stories, personalities resonate with you, we definitely love to talk with you. You can learn more about the positions that we have and how to apply at verdunity.com/careers. So without any more babbling from me, let's tee up the next interview in the series. We'll be running these, like I said, over the next couple weeks, and then we're coming back in January with an interview that AJ is doing. So we'll have more of our traditional episodes up in January, but enjoy these next couple weeks of interviews with our Verdunity team.
Helping community leaders grow financially resilient, resource conscious, and people friendly cities is the Go Cultivate podcast, brought to you by Verdunity.
Okay, so today I'm talking with Marshall Hines. Marshall is our creative director. I'd like to say he primarily works on one thing, but Marshall's kind of the glue that everything that we do, whether it's internal communications, if it's external kind of marketing, branding kind of stuff, and then with all of our planning work, the deliverables and how we communicate ideas to our clients, Marshall's involved with all of that. So Marshall, how are you doing this morning, man?
Not bad. And I appreciate the nice intro. I'll remember that when we start talking about raises next time.
Yeah, back in the day when Jordan was with us, I used to always call Jordan our Swiss Army knife of, you know, he could do so many things. And when Jordan left and we were looking to kind of fill that role, that's something I had in my head, was I want somebody that can be that Swiss Army knife. And you have become that person for us and put your own slant on everything that we're doing. So
I'm flattered. Thank you.
We're doing these mini episodes just to, you know, give folks a little bit of under the hood look at our team and kind of what makes us tick. And we always talk, I like to talk about how we're kind of a unique mix of folks. So let's just start with your personal why. What are you passionate about, and how does it align with the work that we're doing here at Verdunity?
Well, I've shared this with some folks before. I mean, the truth is, what influences me a lot is my family. You know, I got into this entire world in sort of a roundabout way. I mean, professionally, I sort of grew up in the industry as a graphic designer. I worked for a bunch of, you know, financial institutions and news organizations, et cetera. And when my youngest daughter was born, my wife was at home for her maternity leave. And I thought everything was going great, but she says to me one morning, "Hey man, you know, we're spending a lot of time in this same house together. You got to go find yourself a hobby. And so I looked around and said, well, you know, what do I care about? I care about the city that I live in, and I care about, you know, my neighborhood, et cetera. So I sort of stumbled into the local politics, if you will, but I managed to get myself appointed to my planning commission, my local planning commission. And I just, you know, it's opened up the whole world for me. I learned a great deal from the various staff members that were there, asking a lot of what in retrospect are really dumb questions, but just sort of got introduced to the ideas of placemaking and how the rules and regulations that we set up in different places affect every place that we inhabit. And, you know, as a guy with kids, what I'm constantly thinking about is, well, where are my kids going to go when they move out of the house, they get done with school, whatever, where are they going to want to be? Is it going to be here? Is it going to be in a city? Is it going to be in a rural place? Is it going to be in Texas or outside of Texas, et cetera? And it occurred to me early on in this time that I had on the planning commission that, well, I'm in a position, as are all of the other citizens that surround me, we're in a position to help make this place better if we make some smart decisions. And so, you know, I got introduced to organizations like Strong Towns and the Congress for the New Urbanism. And I just said, you know, this is the place that I want to be. So my why is really about trying to make the places that we as human beings inhabit better, both for ourselves, but for the next generation. And really, if we're doing it right, you know, 5, 6, 7, 100 generations down the road.
Yeah. And, you know, that's, we're the two on our team. Well, I guess now we have Tim. Tim is also a new father, but you and I have had a lot of conversations about our kids are why we do this. You know, the concern for our kids' future and our grandkids' future. Well, that's a good segue into my second question, which is, how'd you find your way to us? How did you hear about Verdunity? How'd you get connected with us? And then now that you're here, what do you think makes, in your words, makes our company and our team unique?
Well, the short version of how I found out about Verdunity is by way of Strong Towns. A couple of years ago, Strong Towns and Verdunity got together and put on, I wouldn't even call it a workshop. It was like an interesting gathering up in Plano. And you were there, as I guess unsurprisingly you were there, but Chuck was up there. And
did you come to that?
I did. Yeah, I was at that one. Yeah. And I thought it was fantastic because we were talking about issues that were about these broad issues, but in the local, you know, sort of Texas context. And I think that's where I first met you very, very briefly and just kind of got introduced to the company at large. But I followed what you guys were putting out and saw all these workshops that you were doing and said, man, this is an organization to follow. And the truth of the matter is that I had mentioned earlier, a lot of the design work that I was doing was in the financial industry. That's what I was doing right before I came on at Verdunity. And I had been eyeing some sort of a career change in so much as after being introduced to this concept of building great places, I said, you know, I love the work that I'm doing. I care about communicating well, you know, various complicated concepts. That's a lot of what graphic design and design broadly is. But I want to do it in a way that is producing results that will last, you know, in perpetuity. And you posted a job description that wasn't really all what I was doing, but I just thought I'd reach out and talk to you a little bit about it. And we had some great conversations and here I am.
I do remember Plano now. And initially I was thinking of a different thing that we did up here in North Texas, but I remember the Plano one and I do remember meeting you and I do remember you sent some emails to us kind of shortly thereafter about some of the fiscal analysis that we were doing and how we were attacking kind of the service cost side and public safety and stuff. And I'm like,
yeah.
And so when you applied, I remembered that and I was like, okay, here's this guy with kind of a graphic design background, knows how to communicate, you know, complicated ideas really, really well. At the time I was really into story brand at the time and a lot of what Donald Miller was putting out about clarifying your message and, you know, and just our first couple of conversations. I mean, that you had like the graphic design background that you needed. You had this awareness of how to clarify very, you know, and communicate complex ideas to all kinds of different people. And oh, by the way, you're on your planning commission and you get urban design and placemaking in Strong Towns. I'm like, this guy just like dropped in our lap. So
the reason that I really decided that I was going to commit to this, you know, trying to get on board with Verdunity was because of what you asked about, which is what makes Opportunity so unique. And to be completely frank, I think the most unique thing about our company is the sort of weird diversity of backgrounds that our team has, mm-hmm. and how we approach a lot of these concepts of making places more resilient, making them more sustainable, making them better for future generations. We've got planners here. We've got some of the best planners I've ever worked with in my life. We've got great engineers at this company, but everybody sort of comes at it from the single unifying position that what we do today has effects 100 and 1,000 years from now. And we have that really long-term thinking. I think that's the most unique thing about us and why I care so much about the work that we're doing, because we want to do work that affects our day-to-day life. But what is that, you know, that old proverb about, you know, you don't plant a tree to sit under the shade. You plant a tree so that your grandchildren can sit under the shade. And so that really feels like that's Verdunity's ethos, is making good decisions now that pay dividends far after we're gone. So.
Well, there you go. See, we've been talking about how Marshall makes complex ideas very simple. He just nailed it, man. It's something I've tried really hard to. We talk about communicating things to bring people and perspectives together and help different people that have struggled to connect with planning and engineering and infrastructure, municipal finance. We're trying to get them to care and understand it. And that does take, you know, we're a small team, but like you said, we're a really diverse team. That's why we're doing these podcasts. I want everybody to hear from our different team about the different, or from our team members about just the different background, you know, expertise that you have, but how it all comes together kind of with that common goal. So, we talked a little bit about community building and, what you are most concerned about with it being your kids. Now that you're here and you're working with us and you've worked on some different comprehensive plans and worked with some different cities, it's kind of a double part question here, but what are you most concerned about in cities related to the work that we're doing? And then what parts of the work that we're doing do you enjoy the most and think are making the biggest impact?
You know, I think that what I have found in the cities that we've worked in is that there is an interest from every single person that we communicate with, every citizen that we talk to, every staff member, every elected official, that they sense something is going wrong with the kind of development that they've been getting over the past, you know, in a lot of cases, people's entire lives, right? The sort of semi-suburban or completely suburban development that they've seen, it just, something about it isn't exactly hitting all of the needs that they see in their community, but they don't know exactly why. They don't have the words, they don't have the language, they don't have the understanding to articulate all of that. So I think that the most important thing that really anybody can do in this space is making sure that we all have a unified language to discuss these problems, right? And so that leads directly into what I think is sort of most important for us to be doing. And that is basically communicating to folks that there is a better way of doing things and illustrating for folks what that better way of doing things looks like. I have a mentor of mine who said something that I just thought was absolutely fantastic a few years ago when I said, I don't get it. Like, this seems so clear to me that like we can't keep doing this and expecting our cities and towns to be great places. Why is it other people don't see it, but I see it? And the first question he asked me was, well, how much traveling have you done here in this country and outside of the country? And I said, you know, a little bit here and there. And he said, a lot of these people have not, right? And that's not a criticism. I mean, not everybody is able to travel. But if you have only ever seen the development pattern that got created in the wake of Levittown, the Levittowns across the country and post-World War II, you assume that that's the only way of doing things. And as inner cities got hollowed out through urban renewal, et cetera, all you saw was the right development pattern being ruined by poor decision making. So it's very understandable that without a better lens to look at these issues through, that you're going to assume that the development pattern that we've had over the past 40 or 50 years is the right one, right? And so we have to be able to show communities that don't have experience with it that there is a better way of doing things. And so that's the key element that I sort of focus on in all of our work, is how can we illustrate this to people through graphics and through images and through discussion and through asking the right questions and through talking about a narrative that can suit each community, but probes folks to say, is there a better way of doing this? Let's explore that together. So I hope that answers your question.
Yeah, no, I think to, you know, the Swiss Army knife and why we added you to the team, I think your background, your technical and part of what makes you unique, I think, is your background in graphic design and communications and marketing, and applying that skill set to community building and planning work that we're doing. It's been fascinating to work with you and just see how you think differently about what a comp plan should look like, or what you think a stakeholder meeting should look like, and the questions that you ask. It's different than someone that's a trained planner and how they, you know, how they would do it, or definitely how an engineer would do it. So we're aligned with our purpose, and you and I, especially with having kids. But I think you're, again, for a small team, the perspective you bring is really, really powerful, and something that's, I think we're just scratching the surface on integrating into our work. So one last quick one, a real short answer for me. Give me one or two resources that you think either the listeners themselves, or if they want to share it with their community, would help them to understand these challenges that we're talking about.
Let me mention two books that I absolutely love. One of which is sort of my go-to book when I'm trying to show development to folks who haven't seen every single type of development. And the other one is a more recent book that I sort of stumbled upon out of necessity from a recent project. The first book is called Increments of the Neighborhood. It's by a gentleman named Brian O'Looney. It is fan-flippin-tastic. Like, everyone should own this book. What it does is it breaks down different buildings, different scales of development, from the smallest, you know, a tent in a park, all the way up to, you know, a multi-story building, and everything in between. And it gives you details about things like how dense those places are and the kind of activities that you can see inside those various increments of development, as well as how they fit contextually into neighborhoods of different sizes and different scales. It's sort of a go-to desktop book for me. It's always sitting on my desk.
Yeah,
so that I can, you know, browse through things and communicate. The other one is called Visualizing Density. And this was recommended to me by somebody who was saying, I was asking, how do I tell people that, like, density is not the end all be all of what matters in a community? Well, why don't we show people that high density can look exactly the same as low density or middle density if you just develop in a different way, and vice versa? And this book is just fantastic. It's got aerial photos. It's got ground level photos. It's got details about how dense these places are and the kind of development that happens in them. And it's a great reference point for anybody who's trying to communicate how intense a development pattern can and should be for your individual given context. So check both of those out.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, that's all I got for this short kind of rapid fire questions. But you know, if you've worked with us before, you've probably met Marshall. If you work with us in the future on planning work or really anything that we do, you're going to meet and interact with Marshall. So, and I appreciate you jumping on and doing this with me. And you know, those of you listening, if you relate to Marshall's story, Marshall's work, and you got questions for him, you can always email those to us at podcast@verdunity.com. And maybe we'll get Marshall back on here again to dig into some of this stuff more. So,
yeah, let me also tell everybody, you can still, as long as Twitter lasts, we're not sure how long that's going to be, but you can get me at Marshall Hines, H-I-N-E-S. That's me.
Awesome. Thanks, man.